My dear friends, in Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our blessed Lord and Savior. Today we would like to consider what we're going to call the Exodus before the Exodus. Of course, there is the big story of Exodus in Scripture, but then there is this story of Exodus that happened years before that in the life of God's servant Abraham. We turn to the 12th chapter of Genesis and read these words. God had, called Abraham to the promised land, and now he is there, and we begin in the 10th verse. There was famine in the land. So Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, "I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance, and when the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife.' Then they will kill me, but they will let you live. Say that you are my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared for your sake." When Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. And when the princes of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And for her sake, he dealt well with Abram. And he had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male servants, female donkeys, and camels. But the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. So Pharaoh called Abram and said, What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she is your wife? Why did you say, 'She is my sister'? So I took her for my wife. Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." And Pharaoh gave men orders concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. This is God's word. So there goes good old Abram down to the land of the pyramids, but he's going the wrong way. Canaan, the land of the Jordan River, the promised holy land, was supposed to be his permanent objective when God called him out of the land of the rivers, the Euphrates. Now, the holy land was Abram's by divine promise. And yet, I suppose a man has to do what a man has to do. There was famine in the land, and Abram had a lot of mouths to feed. So he leaves the promised land and goes down to Egypt and sets his mind and his eyes on the fertile fields of the Nile River basin. And now there goes old Abram again, this time trying to pass off his wife Sarai as his sister. And for what? For fear that the Egyptians will like her so much that they will kill him so that they can have her. Some husband, huh? So now Abram is going the wrong way again. But this time we might say, to put it nicely, he is being morally misdirected. Although I'm sure that Sarai, his wife, had a little more colorful way of making known to him her displeasure. And then, of course, there goes old Pharaoh, whisking this retirement-age beauty queen into his royal harem, and now Pharaoh's going the wrong way, abusing his authority to amuse his libido. But soon enough, he finds out that this is no ordinary lady. This is no Jane Doe. This is the patriarch's wife. This is she, from whose barren womb was to come forth a promised son, whose greatest descendant in turn would be no one less than the Savior of this world. Unbeknownst to him, Pharaoh had just stirred up a heavenly hornet's nest. And the consequences for his actions in taking Sarai into his home were great plagues that came crashing in upon his home, like this meteorite that came crashing into the home of D. Riddle's house in Bloomington, Illinois this past week, if you read about that. All of a sudden, here are these plagues crashing in on Pharaoh's household. Now, we don't know exactly what those plagues were, but you've got to give this Pharaoh some credit, because unlike another Pharaoh later on, it did not take 10 of these plagues to arm twist him into submission. So right away, he recognizes what's going on. He calls Abram and says to him, "Why did you lie to me about this woman, your wife, and try to pass her off as your sister?" He's perturbed at Abram, but for Sarai's sake, he treats them well nevertheless. And he opens up his wallet. He gives them sheep and oxen and donkeys and servants and camels and then sends them off. And off they go, protected by the grace of God and enriched by Egypt. The father of Israel makes his way back from Egypt, makes his exodus back to the promised land. He never should have left there in the first place. And yet, God, who is so rich in grace, had left the light on for him. Now, keep in mind that this story from Genesis 12 is not just great storytelling. St. Paul tells us in the epistle reading today that all of these things happened to these kinds of people as an example. But they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. In other words, friends, as people who live in these latter days, these stories are supposed to teach us something for our lives. And the clue here for you is the way this theme of Exodus from Egypt to the Promised Land keeps repeating itself over and over and over again in Scripture. First of all, it's Abram, the story we read this morning. He leaves the Promised Land and goes to Egypt and makes his exodus from Egypt. What we're going to call the Exodus before the Exodus. And then next, of course, it was Abram's grandsons, Jacob, and his sons. They retraced Abraham's steps and they too went down to Egypt. This time the family stayed for centuries until the then nation of Israel, which was in severe bondage in Egypt, was released by a miracle of God under the leadership of Moses and made its exodus from Egypt. And then centuries after that, it was Jesus with his family. They too retraced the steps of Abraham when the family fled down to Egypt to escape Herod. Later on, they also made the exodus out of Egypt, back up to Israel, where Jesus would grow and live and do the hard work of our salvation. Do you see a pattern here? If so, then you are beginning to learn why these things were written down for us. Because you see, the story of God's people making the exodus from Egypt to the Promised Land is a song that still goes on. It was Abraham's story. It was Israel's story. It was Jesus' story. And now it is your story. Because no matter what city and state is inscribed upon your birth certificate, the truth is that all of us were conceived and born in Egypt. And in an Egypt far worse than what Abraham entered, ruled by a far worse tyrant than any pharaoh, and we were born into a slavery that was far, far worse than any that was suffered by Israel. After all, what is Egypt but a picture of Satan's kingdom, where the darkness of sin is the accepted order of things? And who is Pharaoh but the devil's puppet, who has perfected his craft so well that when he enslaves people now, they don't even know that they're being enslaved. So it's impossible to break their bondage except by the miracle of God. And what is the slavery into which all of us were born but our servitude to sin and selfishness that we just cannot break free of by ourselves? Hear the word of the Lord. And I speak to you today as the sons and daughters of Abraham, who, like Abraham, were justified by faith. Hear the word of the Lord. Worse than being born in Egypt is that having been redeemed, you keep returning to Egypt. We keep acting like that old Egyptian way of life is still acceptable for those of us who have been called out of Egypt to live in the promised land. It's like we want it both ways. We want to have all of the blessings of this land flowing with milk and honey and the grace of God. But at the same time, we still want to live that old Egyptian way of life. Worse than the fact that you were once ruled by Satan is that you now so easily and even willingly submit to his temptations and kiss his scaly feet. Worse than having been enslaved is that you have now kept those chains and dragged them along with you. And you strap them on still and once in a while, and you still enjoy your servitude to lust and greed and wealth and selfishness. Once again, the message of Lent is loud and clear, and we heard it in the scriptures today. Repent. As Jesus said, repent or you will likewise perish. And the prophet Ezekiel said the same thing. Repent. Abraham made the exodus from Egypt and he left it behind once and for all. And now you, children of Abraham, do the same. The night of your slavery is over. Get out of the devil's harem. And like Sarai going back to Abraham, flee to the arms of your heavenly bridegroom and to his infinite mercy. Come back to your true home, to Zion, to this promised land where the grace of God flows like milk and honey in his church. And yes, where God has left the light on for you. Abraham's story is Israel's story, is Jesus' story, is your story. For wonder of wonders, in this whole sorry episode where Abraham trades off his personal well-being for the life of his own wife, yet God, in his mercy, protected the womb of Sarai, that from her offspring would one day arise the Savior of this world. From Abraham and Sarah came forth Isaac. From Isaac came forth Jacob, who was renamed Israel. From Israel came forth Judah. And from Judah's family, the tribe of Judah, conceived by the Holy Spirit, would one day come forth the Savior of mankind. He came for you, to make you the sons and daughters of Abraham through faith. And so now watch. There he goes, Jesus, down from heaven into the Egypt of our sin and sorrow and death, all to redeem you and to make you his own. And he goes head to head against the Pharaoh of hell itself, that ancient serpent. And watch closely. It is an amazing battle. Jesus wins by losing. He lives by dying. He saves you by letting himself be damned. For all of the Israelite babies that were tossed into the Nile River, and for all of the babies that had been murdered in the womb before they could take their first breath, he was born to die. For women who are forced into harems, to those women who willingly defile their own bodies, he is born to die. For men who betray their wives, to those men who fantasize about doing so, he was born to die. For one and all, for the bad and for the worse, for the rich and the poor, the black and the white, he is born into our Egypt. And he suffers the hell of God's wrath. And in doing so, has utterly smashed the chains that bind you. So rejoice, you Christians. You are free. You've been released. You are no longer an exile from God's promised land. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God's grace through faith in the one who bought your citizenship with the gold of his own flesh and with the liquid silver of his blood. He has led you from a place of captivity and death, has washed you clean in the Red Sea waters of your baptism and has filled your body and soul with all of the riches of the kingdom of God. And he left the lights on for you, the light of his own glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Hey, we've made the exodus from Egypt. Now, let's make it a clean break as we put Egypt behind us forever. As St. Paul said, put off your old self. Put off that Egyptian way of life. Put off your old self, which belongs to the former way of life and is corrupt through its deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds to put on the new self, created in the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. Abram's was the Exodus before the Exodus. Now let it be your Exodus from that old Egyptian way of life into the promised land of God's grace and mercy, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ until life everlasting. Amen.